This is the Grillin' Guys on 107.3 WBBL-FM.
Welcome back. You are listening to Grillin' Guys each and every Saturday morning on 107.3 WBBL-FM. It's a beautiful morning out there. Look out your window. It's bluebird sky, a little nippy. It was a balmy deuce when I picked up Barbecue Bob this morning. I'm Jop. He's Bob. Good morning, Bob.
Hey, good morning, Jop. And good morning, grilling world. Thanks for tuning in to the craziest show about searing meat and having a brewski on the radio.
Speaking of searing meat, before you sear meat, some of it you got to cure. And we're going to break down right now some venison jerky, and it's really a three-step process. We're going to talk about curing the meat, then Bob's going to talk a little bit about a recipe, and then we're going to actually talk about the technique over the next probably 20 to 30 minutes. But right now, let's talk a little bit about curing meat. Bob, why do you cure meat? What is that, in just in general, what's that all about?
Well, it's really about making sure that your food's safe. And okay, when you're talking about low and slow, when you're doing jerky or sausage, some of these things, you smoke at some pretty cold temperatures. You hit the nail on the head earlier. You said this is perfect weather for smoking. You are spot on. It is perfect weather, because if you want to do something called cold smoke, you know, that's where you're smoking at like 105 to 125 degrees. That's a dangerous level for meat. You better make sure you're curing it. And probably the least understood subject in the world is curing processed meats and sausages. So references to use nitrates as a cure, they can be traced back to actually hundreds and hundreds of years they've been using nitrates. I have no idea who this nitrate guy was, but he came up with a great idea. But when you're using nitrates to cure meat, it combines the pigment of the meat to form like a pink color and flavor of the meat as well.
So, Bob, I've seen at a variety of stores where you can buy jerky seasoning and curing packets.
Yes.
And
it'll have nitrates in it.
Right, and that'll have a package of nitrates in it. So this is not something that I can go to the grocery store and pick it off the shelf. I mean, it's kind of a specialty product, isn't it?
Yeah, you're going to have to go to somebody like, you know, I'm going to plug Sobe again, because there's the classic example of somebody that makes a lot of sausage, or somebody that handles a lot of meat. A really good butcher shop will have something called Instacure. That's a great way to do it.
Yeah, I know our friends up in Rockford at Herman's Boy, they've got a selection of jerky seasonings that you can buy. I know I bought them up there before, but
probably has it in it.
Yeah, I think it's a package, but anyway, yeah. Let's carry on.
There are several of them, several different brands, and they actually work with different ingredients, so not all of them are nitrates. But
okay,
for example, a leg of hog, better known as a ham, okay? If you roast that, and when it's not smoked, it's just going to be pulled pork. However, the very same leg, when injected or pickled, they say, pickled in a brine, that's the curing process. And that can be done with salt and sugar.
Or the nitrates?
And nitrates. Typically, commercially, they're going to do nitrates as well. But it's the nitrate that has the ability to impart the flavor. And without it, there'd be no hams or bacons, or you'd only have cooked or roasted pork. Okay. And the nitrates help prevent rancidity in the storage of meat from botulism. And botulism poisoning, we're talking about the most deadly form of food poisoning known to man. Botulism can produce very deadly toxins, and even without a foul odor or another sign of contamination.
At the 5,000-foot level, we're curing meat because we're not going to be storing it refrigerated. We might be storing it cool, or is that why I'm curing it? Or why do I want to cure it? Does it prolong it? I can keep it longer? That's really what it is, isn't it?
Theoretically, you can, but you better make sure you have a 100% cure if you're not going to refrigerate it. And okay, then you're still going to get some decay. That doesn't, like, you know, it's not foolproof.
But so then
you still want to keep it refrigerated.
Okay, so I want to cure meat
a long time if it's refrigerated.
Right, right. That's it. Is the jerkies and things will store a long time if you've used cure on them. Now, because we've made jerky where we didn't use a curing process, but we had to eat it in a day or two.
Right.
Right, and this is where it keeps for a long period of time.
Exactly.
So it's not that it'll keep on the countertop or on the dash of your truck.
If you put enough of this stuff in it, it actually will. You can hang it in a cool spot. You know, they back in the day, you know, the settlers and the pioneers, they would have salt and sugar, and they would salt the heck out of it. And they would call it salt pork, salt meat, salt beef. And they would literally just hang it. They didn't have refrigerators, so when they killed a cow, they'd have to salt the heck out of it.
Okay, if you're just tuning in, you're listening to the Grilling Guys each and every Saturday morning, 107.3 WBBL-FM, and we're talking about curing meat. And again, the reason is it's going to prolong the edibility, if you will, of the meat, because we all know that if you keep meat too long, it can go bad, and we don't want that to happen. And so the first stage of this jerky, because it takes it's a lot of work to pull some jerky together, so you want to use some cure on this, because once you get it done, then it'll keep for weeks or maybe even a couple months if you've used this curing process. Absent of that, you've got to eat it pretty quick. So this curing is a big part, but is there anything else we need to know about the curing process,
Bob? Well, we're really talking about botulism spores.
Okay.
And they can be found in anything, vegetables, meats, and they're actually harmless and cause any problems unless there's a lack of oxygen, a low acidity or moisture, and then that changes the whole game. When you take that temperature in the 40 to 140 range and you deprive it of oxygen and moisture, that's when the botulism spores want to, I guess, hatch.
Okay, and there again is that it's keeping it under proper temperature.
Yep.
And you'll be able to prolong the goodness of the meat, if
that's
you will.
Right. So 40 degrees is the entry level to that incubation period on botulism.
Very interesting.
Yeah, it's the botulism guys on 107.3.
Well, but it's interesting. I mean, I think that the little packages of the cure and the seasoning things have a recipe on the back, but we kind of wanted to break it down because, once again, this is a great time of year to get the smoker out and fire it up and make yourself some jerky. And you don't have to use venison, but you can.
Exactly. And if you're going to do that, you're going to want to do a bunch of it, because if you fire the smoker up, it's kind of a routine. You know, you got your time allotted. You want to do a whole bunch of it.
Yeah.
It's so good.
So coming up next, what we're going to do is we're going to break down a recipe for a marinade on the venison or the pork or whatever it is you're making jerky out of, so that you can give it some flavor. We've talked about the curing. We're going to talk about the flavoring. So stick with us. We're the Grilling Guys. We'll be back.
Grillin' Guys on 107.3 WBBL-FM.